like all of us, we need our batteries charged. That's why we're here today to get our batteries charged.
Am I on now? Well, good morning. Let's start off in prayer. Lord Jesus, we need you every single day of our lives. We need you. And at this very moment, Lord, we need you above all else. And God, so we ask that you would come and be in our midst. Lord, help me to present your word. And Holy Spirit, come. Fill this room. Fill our lives. Fill our hearts. Fill our minds with godly things. With your word. We commit this time to you now and ask that you be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I too am a little bit in amazement that Christmas is just 3 days away, Wednesday. It's almost here. It's almost here. It's just been a whirlwind, hasn't it? I mean, it just has flown by. Can you imagine that 2014 is just about over? I mean, it just seems like yesterday we were starting. We were here, ending the year, going into the new year, having a New Year's celebration. And here it is, a year later, already. How many of you remember Y2K? 14 years ago, Y2K. Everybody was in a panic. Everybody was in an uproar. We thought that the electricity was going to go out. All computers were going to shut down. The world was going to change. Everything was going to end. Life as we knew it was going to end. You know, and the clock ticked, it turned midnight, and nothing happened. Everything was the same. It's hard to believe that was 14 years ago. 14 years ago. Some people maybe don't even remember that are in this room right now. You might not even remember that. You were too young to remember that. That was just 14 years ago. And I just don't know where the time has gone. Well, I have a Christmas story for you this morning. It's not going to be the traditional Christmas story, but it is the Christmas story. It's not going to be traditional, taken from Luke chapter 2, but it is going to be taken from the Word of God. It's Matthew chapter 2 instead of Luke chapter 2. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 2, you can do that. But before I begin, I'm going to start by telling you another story first, okay? Now, bear with me here because most of you know me as a children's pastor, okay? I teach children, okay? And so I like to use visual aids because that's what I do with children because that's what keeps their attention. If you teach children, you know what I mean. Visual aids keep their attention. Otherwise, you can lose them very easily. And so I use visual aids. And so I'm going to start out with a story this morning, a Christmas story, but it is not traditional, but it is a classic, okay? It is a classic, and its title is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. How many of y'all have read How the Grinch Stole Christmas, okay? If you haven't read the book, maybe you've seen the movie, okay? And I'm talking about the Dr. Seuss, the original one. Maybe some of you have seen The Grinch, the movie, too, okay? But I'm talking more about the original classic, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, okay? And I just want to share a little bit about this with you to start off with, okay? Let me just read the very beginning of the story. It says, every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, he He did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. His heart was two sizes too small. You see, everybody in Whoville loved Christmas, okay? They loved to celebrate Christmas. Everyone, that is, except for the Grinch, okay? The Grinch, he hated Christmas. He hated it. The Grinch hated it so much that he made a plan to steal Christmas from the people of Whoville, okay? And his plan was that he was going to dress up like Santa Claus and go into their homes, and he was going to steal all their gifts, all their decorations, all their lights, all their ornaments, even their food that was planned for Christmas Day. He was going to steal all of it, everything. Now, he wasn't interested in their stuff, okay? He wasn't doing it because of money. He wasn't wanting to steal all their stuff so that he could turn around and sell it and get money for it, okay? He had another reason for stealing all this stuff, okay? His stuff was not his goal. His goal was to steal their joy. That was his goal. His goal was to steal the joy of Christmas from them, that they would not celebrate, that they would be miserable, that they would be miserable. According to the story, he wanted to make them miserable, and he hated Christmas because his heart was small. It was two sizes too small. You see, he was selfish, basically. Okay? In everyday language, he was selfish. And he hated to see other people happy. He hated it. And he hated to see people enjoying themselves. So he worked hard to make them miserable. He was miserable, so he wanted to make them miserable. But if you read the book, you know the end of the story, if you've read the book. Okay? If you've read the book, you know that his plan did not work. His plan failed. And his plan failed because the people of Whoville knew the true meaning of Christmas. They knew that it wasn't about the presents. They knew it wasn't about the decorations. They knew it wasn't about the food. They knew that it came from a heart filled with love. Okay? And so by the end of the story, they're celebrating even though they have nothing about Christmas around them. They're still continuing to celebrate. And so his plan failed. They continued to celebrate anyway, even though they had nothing around them that had to do with Christmas at all. They still continued to celebrate. Now, we know that how the Grinch stole Christmas is not a true story. We know that, okay? We know, yes, if you're a little shocked, I'm sorry. But it's not a true story, okay? It's just a cute little Christmas story classic that was written to entertain children. That's all it was. But this morning I want to tell you a true story. The true story of another Grinch, okay? The very first Grinch that tried to steal Christmas. He was the original Grinch. He was the one who tried to steal Christmas, the very first Christmas. Well, he probably technically wasn't the original Grinch because we all know who the original Grinch was. But, okay, he was the very first human Grinch. Okay, the very first human Grinch, okay? In fact, this Grinch did try his best, his hardest, to steal the very first Christmas. And this Grinch's name was King Herod. And that's where we're going to go this morning, Matthew chapter 2. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report it back to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And then skip down to 16. It says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. In verse 1, it says, wise men from the east. It doesn't tell us exactly where these wise men were from. It just says they were from the east. In studying and looking into this a little bit, wondering where they were really from, I couldn't find anything that indicated for sure, definitely, where they were from. But it was suggested that possibly they were wise men that were descendants of the wise men that Daniel governed when he was in Babylon. Okay? And so they were descendants of those wise men. Possibly. We don't know that for sure, but possibly. And so possibly the truth was somehow passed down through some of the generations. Okay? And these wise men, you know, they were not from Jerusalem. They were not Israeli. They were not Jewish. Okay? They were from some faraway country somewhere. And so they probably knew just a little bit about what was about to take place. They probably didn't know a whole lot about it. Yet when they saw the star in the east, they recognized it as important. Okay? And remember, they were not raised Jewish. So they didn't really know the scripture the way the Jewish leaders did, okay? But yet they saw the star, and they recognized it as important. And they knew that the King of the Jews has been born. When they saw that star, it was a revelation to them. They knew it. The star was a revelation to them from God. That Jesus, the King of the Jews, had been born. You see, their hearts were open enough to recognize the signs. Their hearts were open enough to recognize the signs that Jesus, the Christ, had been born. And so they drop everything and they leave. And they go on this journey and they go to Jerusalem to find this baby who had been born. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and they asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. We saw his star in the east. They saw his star and they left. They left. They didn't have a star to follow him. You know, in our Christmas programs we do, we bring in the wise men. It's traditional. They go to the stable. They follow the star, and they go to the stable. Well, technically, they weren't there at that time. Technically, okay? They weren't there at that time. They didn't really have a star to follow. The star appeared to them in the east. They knew it was important. They knew something was going on. They knew the King of the Jews had been born. But then they didn't follow. The star didn't lead them. They had to find their way to Jerusalem. Okay, after the star, they saw the star, then they had to they went on their way. They didn't have a star to follow. The star isn't mentioned again until verse 9. And in verse 9, it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them at that point. It did lead them, okay? And so they were following the star. So they say they see the star in the east. They recognize the star and what the star is all about, and they immediately leave for Jerusalem. When they get to Jerusalem, who do they go to? The king. King Herod. They go to the king thinking, he'll know. He'll know where this baby is. Let's go ask the king. So they ask King Herod, where is the king of the Jews? Where was he born? And this upset the king. It disturbed him. Okay? It disturbed the king. You see, the king, King Herod, he was a selfish man. He was a Grinch. He was a selfish man. Okay? He hated the thought of there being another king. He hated it. So he came up with a plan to steal Christmas. Now, what amazes me here is that the wise men received a revelation from God through a star. And the wise men probably studied the stars. So they knew a lot about the stars. God knew how to get the wise men's attention. Okay, because they studied the stars. So he knew this will get their attention. And God oftentimes will get our attention and reveal things to us through our knowledge, through the things that we know. And so he'll reveal those things. And so he knew this will get, they know about the stars. This will get their attention. So the wise men, so for the wise men, it was the star. That's how God got their attention. And they knew from their knowledge of stars that this star was important. So they go. They leave. When they arrive into Jerusalem, they go to Herod. When Herod hears of this king of the Jews that had been born, he goes to the chief priests. Okay? If you look at verse 4, who does he go to? He's wondering. He's disturbed. He's bothered by the fact that there's another king. So he goes to the chief priests. He goes to the teachers of the law. He goes to those who know the scripture, who study the scripture. Okay, he goes to them and he asks them, where is Christ to be born? Where is he going to be born? And their response is in verse 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 2. It says, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. So now Herod knows where he's going to be born. And so, or where he has been born. And so he goes back to the wise men and he said, it's Bethlehem. Christ has been born in Bethlehem. Go find him and then come back and report to me and tell me where he is because I want to worship him too. I want to worship him too. But that's a lie. That was a lie. He just wanted his plan fulfilled. He wanted to steal Christmas. He wanted to steal Christmas. And so he said, I want to worship him too. He was that, like Kimberly was talking about, that voice, that liar and that wicked, that worldly voice. Okay, he was the one saying, I want to worship him too, but it was just nothing but a big lie. It was just nothing but a big lie. Remember, Herod's plan was to steal Christmas. That was his plan. That was his plan. So what I see here, I see wise men who are not even Jewish, who are not from Jerusalem, who are from a land far off, and I see a wicked king who's selfish, okay, and is worried about somebody else stealing his throne, okay, recognizing the truth. They recognize it. They saw the star. They recognized the truth that the Christ had been born. The King of the Jews had been born, and they believed it. But yet, you have the chief priests and the teachers of the law and those who knew the scriptures who did not believe it. It was not a revelation. It had not been revealed to them. And they didn't drop everything and say, really? Christ has been born? Let's go. We need to go now. We need to go find him. Okay? And these were the men who had been studying scriptures. But yet the man who was wicked and the wise men who were not raised there and who were from a faraway country recognized the star, recognized the revelation, recognized the voice of God, and went and knew. And so we see what the response, the difference in the responses were there. Okay? The chief priests did their duty. They said, yeah, Bethlehem is where he's supposed to be born. Okay, but they didn't drop everything and go find this miracle. As believers, we need to be careful that that doesn't happen to us. As believers, we need to keep our hearts open. We need to keep our hearts open so that when God speaks to us or God reveals something to us, that our hearts will recognize it and that we'll hear his voice and that we will respond. You see, we get so caught up in life. We get so caught up in our duties. We get so caught up in our responsibilities that, you know what? We could miss him, easily miss him. I could miss him easily. In fact, I do miss him at times because I'm so caught up and I'm so busy in doing what I need to do and getting things done that I miss the revelation sometimes. I miss his voice as he's speaking to me. And so we, as believers, we need to be careful that we don't get caught in that trap. So now, the Grinch, Herod, he's on a mission. He's on a mission. His mission is that he wants Jesus annihilated. Okay? He wants him gone. He's trying to steal Christmas. But if you've read the Word of God, you know it didn't work, did it? It didn't work. It didn't work for Dr. Seuss's Grinch, and it didn't work in the Word of God. It didn't work for Herod. His plan failed. Because once again, God intervenes. And he goes before Joseph and Mary and the baby, Jesus. And he goes to the wise men, and an angel comes to them in a dream and warns them, do not go back the same route. He warns them. It says in verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So God warns these wise men. And then Joseph, verse 13 and 14, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, oh, out of Egypt I call my son. You see, God spoke, once again intervenes, and he speaks to Joseph in a dream, through an angel. Joseph, what does he do? He obeys. Immediately, he obeys. He didn't sit and contemplate. Is that really you, God? Should I go or shouldn't I? Was that really God saying to go? No. He responds immediately because his heart was open to the Spirit of God. His heart was open to the revelation, to the angel of the Lord telling him in the dream, go. Take Mary and Jesus and leave. So immediately he wakes up Mary, says, come on, Mary, we got to go. Pack up right now. We've got to go. Get Jesus. We've got to go. Now, by this time, we don't know exactly how old Jesus was. See, when the wise men came to see Jesus, it wasn't in the stable. Okay? It was somewhere between the time that Jesus was 40 days and 2 years. We don't have an exact time that it happened. Okay? We just know he was somewhere between 40 days and 2 years. Okay, so they weren't in the stable anymore. They're now living in a house somewhere. They have a home. They're living in a house. And Joseph is warned in the dream, get up and go. Take Jesus. He's in danger. Herod wants to kill him. So you need to take Jesus and go. So Joseph, they pack up everything, leave everything else behind, take what they need. okay, and leave everything else behind. Remember, they didn't have cars. It's not like they could pack up their cars and go somewhere, okay, in their car, take all their belongings. They had to leave everything behind except their necessities, just what they needed, okay? So they pack up everything that they needed, and they get Jesus, and they leave in the middle of the night. They leave, and they go. And because of that, Jesus' life was spared. Because we realize, if you read on down, that Herod had all the boys 2 and under killed. Okay, so Jesus was spared. His life was spared. Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they leave for Egypt. They go to Egypt. All the other boys who were 2 and under were killed. You see, Joseph had a heart that was opened and recognized the truth. He recognized the truth. He knew the truth. Jesus was spared because Joseph obeyed. Joseph obeyed. Joseph had a Grinch. His Grinch was trying, you know, to steal Jesus away. The love and the joy. He was trying to steal it all away. All of it. And since the very first Christmas, there has been a Grinch trying to steal the joy of people everywhere. Trying to steal my joy. Trying to steal your joy. Everyone, everywhere, there's a Grinch trying to steal your joy. Today, there are Grinches. You can go to Tyler to the mall shopping, and you will run into a Grinch. Okay? There's Grinches everywhere. But they're not just people. They're not just people, are they? Okay? What about busyness? Busyness will steal your joy, won't it? It will. What about your health? What about pain? Emotional pain. Pain of past, of the past. Good memories and bad memories. You know, even good memories can steal your joy if you dwell on it. The memories of your past and what it was like, maybe when your children were little or when you were little. There can also be bad memories. Maybe you had bad Christmases. Maybe you had bad experiences happen at Christmas. So emotional pain can steal your joy. Physical pain can steal your joy. We all know that. Anybody who's experienced any kind of physical pain can zap you of your joy immediately and keep you there. It discouraged. Physical pain, illness, stress, fear, depression. Depression. A lot of people suffer from depression during the Christmas holidays. That depression is trying to steal your joy. It's a Grinch, and it's trying to steal your joy. Grief, lack. How about lack? If you lack money, and you can... that your joy can be stolen away from you so fast because you're thinking, oh, I don't have the money to buy my baby's Christmas presents. Or I don't have money to buy my, you know, husband or my wife or my mom or my dad or whoever, my children. We have no money. And so you get depressed. So lack can steal your joy. How about unfulfilled expectations? Anybody in here ever have an expectation that wasn't fulfilled? It wasn't fulfilled? And so you're disappointed because you're expecting this and then you don't get it? And so unfulfilled expectations can immediately steal your joy, the joy of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. Don't let the Grinch steal your joy today. Don't let him steal the joy of Christmas from you, whether it be busyness, whether it be lack, whether it be depression, whether it be unfulfilled expectations. Don't let the Grinch steal the joy of Christmas from you. You know, this week, I had a Grinch. I mean, who doesn't, right? Okay. But, you know, I had a Grinch this week. Tuesday was not a good day for me, okay? Just saying, all right? One thing after another was not going right. I had my list of what I needed to do that day and get it done. I was determined to have all my shopping done by the weekend because I did not want to go shopping this weekend. And so I had my list. So off I go to Tyler. On the way to Tyler, things started happening, okay? And I'm like, man, this is not good. About the time I get to Tyler, guess what I realize? I have a flat tire. I'm like, oh, great. This is going to put me even more behind schedule now because I have a flat tire amongst all the other things that were going on. Then because of some lack of communication, you know, sometimes there's lack of communication. What can you say? You know, us women are very detailed, right? I mean, we, like, lay out the details. If you have a husband, your husband's probably going, get to the point already. Just get to the point already. Just tell me what you need. And us wives go into every little single detail. Well, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. Okay? Well, my two men in my life who would typically come to my aid, they didn't communicate very well. So they did communicate, but they didn't go into detail like I would have gone into detail. And so consequently, I sat there for about 2.5 hours waiting for one of them to come. Of course, I was at a shopping. I was like at Big Lots and Michael's and all that. And so I was, you know, went the whole up and down the strip mall, to all the stores, thinking maybe I might find some presents. I didn't, but, you know, I just kind of went in and out of the stores waiting, and finally I'm going, man, an hour and a half, it's been an hour and a half. So I called Jody. I'm like, where's Tim? Well, he's on his way. I'm like, okay. I told him. I'm like, okay. So about 2:15, this is about 2.5 hours later, Tim calls. He said, Mom, I'm almost at Sam's, because he was on his way really to help me at Sam's to do the Sam's run for the church. And I had a long list. So he graciously helps me. He's my helper with the Sam's run. And so he's like, I'm on my way to Sam's. I'm going to stop at Sonic and I'm going to get something to drink. Do you want something? I'm like, yeah, I want my tire changed. Don't you know I have a flat tire? And he's like, I didn't know you had a flat tire. I'm like, how did you not know I had a flat tire? Dad said you knew I had a flat tire. And he's like, Dad never told me you had a flat tire. Because they did communicate, okay? They did communicate, but they didn't go into detail. So, just saying. Just saying, okay? But my son came to my rescue immediately. He was like, I will be right there. And he had my tire changed in no time. He's such a good son. So, anyway, and then I'm in Michael's. My story goes on. I'm in Michael's, and I go to check out. And the girl behind the counter must have had, like, a whole list of Grinches because she was not very nice. And so I'm, like, really trying at this point to be really nice, okay? I was nice. I wasn't mean, but I wanted to be, though. And so... But God is, like, constantly reminding me, remember the Grinch, remember the Grinch, remember the Grinch. I'm like, okay, I remember the Grinch. So anyway, so I wanted to buy my book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And, well, it cost $15. And I'm like, no, I can't spend $15. But wait a minute, I have a coupon, 40% off. So I go get my coupon in the car, and I take it up there, and I'm like, okay, I want to use my 40% off coupon on the book. And so she brings it up, and she goes, oh, you can't get 40% off on that. And I'm like, why? She said, because it's on sale. I said, it's not on sale. $15 is the price of the book. And I'm still being nice about this, okay? And so she goes, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You can't use it. And I'm like, it says right here, 40% off of a regular priced item. Yeah, but that's not a regular priced item. I said, yes, it is. Look, right here, it says US $15. I'm still being nice. I really was. And so, so she says, well, I'm sorry. It just, the computer's not ringing it up that way. We just can't give it to you. I said, okay, well, then I don't want it. I'm not going to buy it if it's $15. She says, fine. So anyway, so then I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe if it's wrong, maybe if I call a manager, maybe they really will give it to me for that price. I don't usually do that kind of thing. You know, I just kind of take it and I just leave. But I thought, you know, I'm kind of having a hard day. I'm just going to fight with this thing a little bit. So I'm still being nice about it. I really am. I'm being nice. So I said, you know what? Can I speak to a manager? She goes, oh, fine. So she calls the manager, and the manager comes, wonderful woman, very nice, very sweet. And she just says, I said, why can't I get this for 40% off? The coupon says a regular price, this is regular price. She goes, oh, let me explain. And that's all I wanted was an explanation. I'm not trying to rob Michaels of their money by any means. I just wanted an explanation. Why can't I have the book for 40% off? And so she explained it's because the books don't count because the distributor, all that kind of stuff. And I was good with that. I was like, okay, I understand. That's fine. I said, but I'm really not going to. She said, do you want the book? I said, no. So I didn't get the book. I got it at Walmart. $12. So anyway. Anyway. But anyway, I saved $3. Anyway, but I really was not mean to the girl. I really wasn't. But I wanted to be, but I wasn't. Anyway, but God kept reminding me through all of that, you know, that there's a Grinch, and he's trying to steal my Christmas. He's trying to steal my joy, is what he was trying to do. He was trying to steal my joy. Honestly, the Tuesday, to be perfectly honest with you, I was miserable, okay? I woke up Tuesday morning. I'd gone to bed Tuesday night with something on my mind. And I woke up Tuesday morning, and, you know, I was still pretty miserable about what I was thinking about. And so I just wanted everybody to be miserable. You know, I wanted my husband to be miserable. I wanted my kids to be miserable. I just wanted everybody to be miserable because I was miserable, okay? And so the Grinch was trying to, you know, steal my joy, and he was doing a pretty good job of it. But finally, you know, I realized, okay, this has got to stop. Okay, I have to make a choice here. I have to make a choice. Okay? I can just stay in this miserable attitude and have a bad attitude and try to make everybody else miserable and, you know, be a bad witness, or I can, you know, change this right now and do something about this and begin to rejoice. And so I began to rejoice. Thank the Lord. And my husband saying, thank the Lord. And anyway, but you know, I realized later on that day when I got home and I began to rejoice and change my attitude that, you know, I could have changed it a lot sooner, changed my attitude a lot sooner, and I could have began to show and share the real joy of Christmas, even to that girl in Michael's. Because I could have said something like, you know why I want this book so bad? Because it's how the Grinch stole Christmas, and there's Grinches. And I could have gone on, and I could have shared a message with her, you know, of the real meaning of Christmas. But I wasn't able to do that because I was too busy being miserable. And I missed an opportunity to share with that girl why I wanted that book so bad. And because there's Grinches in our life. Because really, she had a Grinch. She really did. And I'm not saying that to be mean or make fun of her or be funny. She really did. She was a miserable young lady. And she was young. She was probably no more than 18 years old. Okay, and she was miserable. Miserable. And I could have, you know, I could have said something to her. I could have shared with her the real joy of Christmas. But instead, I was too busy being miserable myself. You know, we must keep our hearts open to God and recognize the signs. And then once we recognize the signs, we must change our attitudes and begin to rejoice and begin to worship and begin to enjoy those wonderful things in life. You know, at the end, if you've read How the Grinch Stole Christmas, you know the end of the book. You know what happens at the end of the book. Let me just read a little bit. It says, this is after he had stole everything from them. And it was the next morning, Christmas morning. And he gets up, and the Grinch is like listening, okay? He's got his ear out, and he's wanting to see their response. Because he's thinking they're going to be miserable because they don't have all their Christmas stuff anymore, so they're going to be miserable. And he says, but the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound, it sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry and very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. Even without all the presents, even without all the decorations, even without all the lights, even without all the food that they were going to eat on Christmas morning, they had the joy of Christmas. They all gathered around in the middle of the town, and they all held hands, and they sang Christmas songs together as a group in the middle of the town. They sang together. Now, this confused the Grinch, okay? I'm not going to read it all because I don't want to bore you, but and for sake of time. But he was confused at this. It puzzled him. It says that, and he puzzled for 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. I mean, he was thinking about it so much, and he was so confused that his brain was sore, okay? He was so confused. He didn't know what was going on. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food and the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. You see, his attitude was changed because of the way they responded. The way they responded. They didn't get all upset. They didn't say, it's all over, and have a bad attitude, and they weren't miserable because they knew the true meaning of Christmas, the love and the joy of Christmas filled their hearts. They didn't need all that other stuff. The Grinch was trying to steal it from them. He tried to steal all that joy from them, but they didn't let him. They didn't let him, and he saw that, and so he changed. He changed. Consequently, he changed. His heart grew 3 sizes. You know, our attitudes and our responses to the Grinches in our life will cause others to change. It'll cause others to change. Maybe that girl, if I would have said something, maybe, who knows? I don't know. Maybe she would have changed. Who knows? I don't know. Okay? But I didn't do that. And so our attitudes and our actions and the way we respond to those Grinches in our life is going to cause others to change and go, wait a minute, I need to learn from this. There's something to this. There's something to this. Now, I'm sure all of you, everyone has a Grinch. Everybody does, right? We're human. Everybody has Grinches in their life. Maybe the Grinch is trying right now to steal your joy of Christmas. Maybe he's already done it, okay? Maybe he's doing it. Maybe this morning, okay, you've had a battle with some sort of a Grinch in your life. And I'm not talking about people, okay? I'm talking about circumstances, situations. Maybe there's been a Grinch who's been trying to steal your joy, the joy of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. And of course we know what the true meaning of Christmas is. We do, don't we? We know it's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. And maybe that Grinch has been trying to steal that from you. But don't let him. Let's change our attitudes. Let's rejoice together. At this time, I would like to do that. I would like for all of us in this room to sing together, to rejoice, just like Whoville sang together. Only we're not going to sing their cute little song. If you've seen the movie, you know their cute little song that they sing. It's real cute. But anyway, I don't know it. But we're going to sing, and Mariah's going to lead us, in a good, old-fashioned, traditional Christmas carol called Joy to the World. So y'all stand. Wednesday's Christmas. This is our last time together before Christmas. As a family, let's sing Joy to the World together, and let's rejoice. If you have a Grinch right at this minute, lay it down, put it down, and stand up and worship. Let's worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the Jews. Let's worship him.
Thank you, Ann. You know, in the political arena, in the presidential race, they have a thing called Super Tuesday. Well, that was not a Super Tuesday, but I hope you have one this week for sure. You know, the scripture was shared this morning. They say, I cannot preach without using it. The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. And among our people here this morning, Maybe you don't have that joy because, like someone said, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. They said, well, get out from under them and get on top of them. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we need that joy in our lives. But J-O-Y is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And if you're here this morning and you've never known the joy of salvation, why not think about giving a gift to Jesus, your life? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's not the way you live. You live me first. And the one description of all sin is a life of selfish living, living for self. Bow your heads this morning. Lord Jesus, if there's someone here this morning that does not know you, Lord, let them realize that you said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Fellowship with them. Lord, there's no need to go a day longer, an hour longer, a minute longer in a life of misery. We see Herod had that same spirit of destruction. And we know that a life of sin has consequences and an eternity in hell. But we know that you're the Savior. And you said to come unto me. All you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you're here this morning without Jesus, then the devil, the Grinch he was talking about, has got his grasp on you. He's got a yoke over you. And you are almost powerless to do anything but serve him. The devil wants your worship, and that's what you're doing. If you're not worshiping God, you are worshiping the devil. And you're worshiping yourself. While the eyes are closed, is there anyone here this morning that would raise their hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus today as a gift to him at this time of Christmas? We'll just wait a moment. Okay. Anyone else? Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's the greatest decision you could make. And it's what it is. It's giving your life to God. He's the only one. You try to run your own life, you'll ruin your own life. But if you give your life to Jesus, he will take care of you. Maybe others here this morning, you say, well, I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I haven't been living for him. There's hope for you. The one that raised your hand, would you like to come forward this morning and kneel and accept Jesus as your Savior? Thank you, Lord. What's your name? Michael? Okay. What do you want from Jesus this morning?
Well, I want him to forgive me for all the wrongs that I did in my life and all the suffering that I caused everybody around me.
You believe he is Jesus the Lord?
Yes, sir.
And you proclaim him today as Savior?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Just step down. I'm going to have someone come pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Prayer team, Jason, thank you, Lord. I was getting ready to dismiss, but come on, Marcus. And the Lord prompted me, no, give an invitation. What a way to start the... Anyone else want to join us this morning? There's plenty of people up here to pray with you. If you're struggling this morning and you just feel like that you're not that tree that can be named by your fruit, then you want to join us up here this morning. Altars are open. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all pray with me. Stretch your hands this way. Lord, you've heard his proclamation, his public confession, his desire to follow you, his desire to let the blood of Jesus take care of his sin. You were a substitute on the cross of Calvary for Michael's sins. And Lord, he accepts you this morning. He proclaims you this morning. I pray, God, you'll give him the joy. Another scripture the Lord gave me, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's morning. It's morning. Accept the joy of the Lord. Proclaim it today. Shout it out. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my sins, my transgressions, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who satisfies my mouth with good things, who crowns me with his loving kindness, who renews my youth as an eagle that I may run and not be weary. Bless the Lord. All of this in the abundant package plan of abundant life promised in John 10:10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stretch your hand this way. I want to give you a Christmas blessing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord give you his peace. Heil vate guarde, heil date resplandecer su rostro y ponga en ti paz. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amen. 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 Te mire con agrado y te extienda su amor al Señor. Te muestre su favor y te conceda la paz. Would you thank God for the peace that passes understanding? Fellowship with your family today. Get some more coffee. Maybe a donut is left. Have a great Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. Amen. Sing it as you go out. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.